Who would win in a fight, New York's Statue of Liberty or all of the Confederate statues in the southern cities?
Pick a side, stupid.
Welcome to Pick a Side, Stupid, a comedy debate show that covers the important issues. Now, here's your host, Sean Carter.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. So, this week we will be talking about U.S. cities. When Zach Jones, our previous champion, chose U.S. cities as our topic, I was like, oof, this is going to be rough. But then I saw the questions that all of you guys sent in, and I was like, we can do this. This is going to be a fun show. But to start off the show, before we get into the debate, we're going to have a little bit of stand-up on topic. So everybody, please welcome Zach Jones.
For the record, Sean said this was a great topic when I pitched it. U.S. cities. I like them. In favor of them. I was in Chicago a summer ago with my family. That's a great city. I like that city. While we were there, my family, we were looking for a blues bar to go to, famous Chicago Blues. And my mom suggested one that she found on Google that was in the South Side. And I knew that my mom would not want to go to the South Side. But she did not know this because she has not heard a rap song in the last 20 years. So she was unaware of this. So I knew I was going to have to go a little bit further back in the catalog to explain to my mom that she didn't want to go there. So I said, Mom, the South Side of Chicago is where Bad Bad Leroy Brown is from. Then she got it. I don't know. Chicago's. I would still go there. I would prefer there over like, you know, the suburbs right now. Have you heard about the suburbs? There's just like big time heroin trending there. I like that when the news talks about like the heroin problem in the suburbs and makes it sound like it's a hip thing that's finally gotten there. Like, 5 years ago, you could only find heroin in the most hip parts of Brooklyn. But today, mom and dad can enjoy it. You know why I think there's a heroin problem in the suburbs? It's because there's nothing to do. I think that's what, like, the biggest way to prevent heroin use is to have, like, five things better than heroin to do. The town I'm from a town in New Jersey that now has a big problem with it. And that, I think I know why. Because there was a clickbait article that came out about my town that were the 9 coolest things about Tom's River. And one of the things listed there was, our Applebee's starts happy hour an hour before the other ones in the area. That was top 9. Could you imagine if you moved to a place and someone, you're like, what's cool to do around here? And they said, are you familiar with half price apps? Is the only thing missing from your life another hour of them? Before you finish that sentence, I would already be lying to my doctor about pain problems. And like, there's a lot of, like, tragedies that also happen in small towns now. I feel like years ago, like, small towns were like, this is the place with the world's largest spoon, or John Stamos came from here, or they invented anal beads. Now it's like the place where that terrible thing happened. Cities don't have that problem, though. Because when terrible things happen in cities, they become strong. The city becomes a strong thing. And strong, what's implied by strong is, we've got other things you'll remember us for. We have a funny-shaped building or an interesting take on soup.
I don't know what size you have to be strong rather than that defining you, but it's probably like a little bit bigger than Waco, Texas. Like, go. I'm hoping that Lady Baylor basketball can do something, but it's not there yet. A lot of comics moved to LA. I don't know if I want to do that. So I think about moving to LA the way I think about killing myself. Like, it's not that I won't do it. I just have to be really sure it's going to make me famous. My favorite city though is Boston. My other favorite city is New York. And the problem is that Boston and New York don't get along very well, even though I like them both. And the problem is for Boston that it's never going to win, like, in a lot of just, like, numerical things. It's too small. It's not as big as New York. There's a lot of stats it can't compare. Except for something that I found out is that the Boston Public Library is 3 million volumes larger than the New York Public Library. Why aren't we always talking about that? That should be how we heckle the Yankees. Just like, hey, Stanton, your library sucks, bro. It's like a freaking magazine rack. Count the stacks. You hate us because you aren't us. You thought I was going to say ain't us, but I'm well read, kid. I'm all about the D's. Dorchester, Dunks, and the Dewey Decimals, baby! Or if there was like a bad play, you could be like, a strike, ump! Are you blind? Because if you are blind, there are many resources at the Boston Public Library for the vision impaired, including periodicals on tape and books in Braille. Thank you guys very much. I'm Vince Zach Jones.
That's Zach Jones.
Hey there, we're about to start the debate, and this week's show is a doozy. But wanted to take a second to remind you that we have live shows at Maggie's Lounge in Quincy at 7 p.m. the first, second, and third Friday of every month. So come down, it's a great beer selection, they got great pizza, they got great comedy. It's a great atmosphere. It's a lot of, I shouldn't say great as much as I do, but you get the point. It's really a fun time. All right, now this first debate tonight is between Sonny Dennis and Mike Dorval.
Next up, please welcome Mike Dorval. Okay, Sonny, do you want to go first or second?
Let's go first this time.
Okay. Your question is from Steve Albert. He asks, what's the lamest reason to riot? A pumpkin festival, as they did in Keene, New Hampshire? Or beating a 40-year-old quarterback like they did in Philly?
You know what? Fuck pumpkins. That's where I'm going at. You just carve them up and make them look like other shit. There's no real point to them. They don't taste good. Pumpkin pie, the worst pie. If you're going to do a riot, ride over pumpkin pie sucking, okay? Oh, get the fuck out. You had your time, okay? Go to Denny's and get a pumpkin pie. Yeah, fucking pumpkins are gross. Of all the squashes, like, there's some good Hawaiian gourds that are pretty underrated. So, yeah, if you're going to be upset, I'd say get upset at the football game, not a fucking... What's another word for squash? Couldn't nail it.
Time.
So, wait a minute. Which side did you take?
He says the pumpkin festival is the lamer reason.
Is the lamer reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Clearly, it is much lamer to get really psyched out. And because why are you riding? Because you actually beat Tom Brady. That is a fantastic reason to get happy. And your celebration was so lame, they actually greased the poles because they knew how you were going to celebrate already. You haven't had anything to celebrate in 80 years, and they still knew what you were going to fucking do, man. Like, oh, you know what? They're going to do the same thing that they did when they won in the 20s. So let's get the fucking polls ready. You actually did one of the most amazing things ever, and you still did the shittiest thing you could possibly imagine, and you fell down doing it. There is video of you hurting yourselves afterwards, you lame fucks. I'm going under.
Thank you. Okay, good point. So you brought something up. Philadelphia, that's a city. That is a place with a lot of people. There's a mob mentality. There are crowds. Where did the pumpkin thing happen?
Keene, New Hampshire.
Keene, Newton? What is it? New Hampshire?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire? Fuck New Hampshire. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's like, white people are bad, but those are the worst of all the fucking, ugh. And then pumpkins to be upset about, like, guns, something. Like, they don't riot. That blows my mind. Anyway, there's like 50 of them up there. There's a little bit of white people. Philadelphia,
Time.
There's a ton of people.
I think you're arguing my side. The Pumpkin Festival is a great reason to riot if that's all you fucking have. This is the best we could do. This sucks. Throw this shit away.
All right, I got to hand the win to Mike Dorval.
Thank you.
Next up, please welcome Doug Fitzgerald.
There you go.
Mike, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay. Doug, your question is, would you rather live in a mansion in Mobile, Alabama, or in a mobile home anywhere else in the country?
I would rather live in a mobile home anywhere in the country, period. Mainly because that's the whole purpose. I could pick up and go anywhere in the country with my home. I won't even have to pack up. I just drive the fuck away. Just hitch that thing up to a truck and drive away. Of course, I'll probably have to buy tires or something for it because it's a mobile home. But there, that's it.
You're ignoring what it means. If you have a mobile home, everything else in your life is awful. If you're in a mansion in Mobile, Alabama, you own the mansion in Mobile, Alabama. You are dominating Alabama. Even if you're in Alabama, it's your state. You've done everything right. You're probably the head football coach of Alabama. That's a great job. You're going to go there. Of course you're going to go there. This isn't even a contest.
The problem is, with a mansion in Mobile, Alabama, you're stuck in Mobile, Alabama. If I was in Mobile, Alabama with my mobile home, I can't even fucking say it. I could just, once again, drive away. If I hated where I live, I could just go, beep, beep, fuck you motherfuckers, I'm out of here.
Or you could get one of those mansions that you're allowed to leave from time to time. Could we get one of those mansions with a door that you're not chained to? I thought that was part of the mansion deal, is that it was a mansion that you could exit whenever you chose to go out of. Maybe I should take the other side of this. I had no idea this is a prison mansion.
All right, I got to hand the win to Mike Dorval. Next up, please welcome Erica Lindquist. Okay. Mike, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay. Erica, your question is from Sarah Morgan. She asks, is building a city on rock and roll a good economic decision? Yes or no?
It is not. Mostly because the turnover is high. If you are, like our president, running a city like you would a business, you would say that loyalty is one of your best assets. And you simply cannot control those young rock stars with drugs or alcohol. And most of the time, you can't rely on them to show up or build a business or do anything. And usually you go and they're die. They die on you real good. Before, and then they get everyone pregnant. And then, then they just leave town. So their tax dollars don't even go there anymore. Who's got 10 million babies and no one to raise them.
Time.
Building a city is on rock and roll is a great idea because of the death. You have no elderly care in your city. The welfare state doesn't exist in your city. Everyone has an amazing time until they're 27 and then they're gone. You're getting everyone at peak productivity. You're getting everyone really happy and they're working almost all night and they're all on cocaine, so they only need to sleep 2 hours. It's really, honestly, it's a fantastic idea. Cleveland was built on rock and roll. And when it was actually doing rock and roll, it was good. And then when they decided to try and have an industrial revolution, it died. They left rock and roll, and then they became the Cleveland that you know now. I'm old enough to remember Cleveland. It was a great city. And you guys look young enough that you might believe me.
When was that, like, year zero? The thing is that everyone's like, oh, come to our city, we got rock and roll. And then everyone's like, okay. And then you get tourism coming in, and then you become the next Iceland when everything is like $10,000. If you want a burger in Iceland, it is $10,000. And then no one can afford that or infrastructure. And then all your rock stars are dead.
Time.
I applaud you for taking on the brave anti-Iceland point of view. Because nothing screams the rock and roll problem quite like Reykjavik, Iceland. The place that everyone is going to and is so wildly expensive that you can get a plane flight there for $13. I think Iceland's doing pretty goddamn good, and so is rock and roll.
All right, good debate. I gotta hand the win to Mike Dorval. Okay. This is our final debate before we get into the bracket style. Next up, everybody, please welcome Angela Sawyer.
Yay. Hey.
Mike, would you like to go first or second?
I'll keep going second.
Angela, your question is, would you rather live in New York City, the city that never sleeps, or Tipton County, Tennessee, which is known as the Sleepy City?
New York City, asshole of America. Garbage capital of our planet. Not where I want to live. Have you been to sleep? It's amazing. It's the best place you've ever been. Why would you ever want to stop? I don't know what's in Tipton, and I don't remember what state it's in, but I won't need to know because I'll be out like a light.
Apparently, I'm the one who listened carefully to the options because Tipton is not the sleepingest city. It's the sleepiest city where you never get to sleep. It's Tipton. They're sleepy. They're fucking miserable all the time. Have you met sleepy people? They're awful. You ask them how they're doing, and all they tell you is how much they slept last night and last week and what their baby's doing all the time. So clearly, in Tipton, there's no birth control. Everyone has like 7 kids, and no one is sleeping. Everyone wants to go to New York. If things were going well in Tipton, this wouldn't be the first time you've heard of Tipton.
Fair. Tipton is unknown. New York, however, the city that never sleeps. You guys know the Facebook proverb about the people who are like trapped in a weird Russian jail cell and never sleep and go crazy. It's a ghost story and they all go insane. I think New York's just a place where it's like you can only run on the engine of cocaine. Just the engine of cocaine. Even if all you get is coffee as an alternative, it's a better alternative.
New York City is the city that doesn't sleep, but people there are allowed to sleep. It's just that the city is open the whole time, so when you're not sleeping, you get to do shit. You can sleep in New York anytime that you want. There's actually no civil law against that. It's really great. And you can get sleep. You can not sleep. You can close your shades. It's really pretty great. Am I the only one who's been to New York? Like, you guys are... That's why you get a hotel room in New York, so that you can sleep at different times. It's great. You can give it a try.
All right, I got to hand the win to Mike Dorval.
Thank you.
All right, Mike, you can take a break now. All right, first up in our bracket, please welcome Ted Pettengill and Jeff Medoff. Ted, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
All right, Jeff, your question is, which Hall of Fame should Pete Rose be in? The one in Cooperstown, New York, or the one in Cleveland, Ohio?
All right, well, I don't know what the one in Cleveland, Ohio is. Is that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
No. Of course he shouldn't be in the fucking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh, because he did drugs. I get it. Oh, no, he should be in the Cooperstown Hall of Fame, and I feel like we're past the point where society cares that much if you're a sports person who uses steroids, right? We just want to see the hits. We just want to see some highlights. No one's really that concerned with your health. Get a couple concussions and give us something to watch Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, whatever day you play, and get into the Hall of Fame. He did a pretty good job, from what I know of Pete Rose. I think he was okay. And realistically, you know, no one wants to go to Cleveland, Ohio, regardless of what we've been talking about for some other...
Time!
Okay.
It's amazing you know where the Baseball Hall of Fame is and know nothing else about the game of baseball. Pete Rose didn't do steroids. He got kicked out of baseball for gambling. And you can't gamble on the sport you're playing / coaching. That's just not fair. But you know who doesn't give a fuck about gambling? Rock and roll. Also, I'm sure there's like a riverboat casino right outside of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and that dirty, shitty lake and that... garbage town, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is actually very nice. I've been there, and it's the nicest part of the Midwest. I see it the rest of my time.
I think what this really comes down to is what is going to perish from the culture sooner, baseball or rock and roll. And as much as I love rock and roll, I think baseball is going to stick around as long as suburban white kids need something to do. So I think if we want to honor Pete Rose as a person, we should give him a longer-lasting place in history. I guess I'm arguing for a guy who was gambling, but I just really think Pete Rose got a bad rap. I think
time!
Yeah, there's always going to be bored suburban white kids who need to play baseball, and they're going to turn into jocks and be bullies, and they're going to bully other bored white kids, and you know what those kids are going to find? Rock and roll.
All right, I got to hear the win to Ted Pettengill. Next up, please welcome Katie Baker and Katie McCarthy. Katie Baker, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay. Your question is from Zach Jones.
Zach Jones!
He asks, which nickname is more inaccurate? L.A. being the city of angels or Philly being a city of brotherly love?
I think that L.A. being the city of angels is the more inaccurate because angels, if they do exist in human form on this planet, I don't think they would do well in L.A. because they'd probably be morally, I guess, they'd be sad. I don't know. But what I'm saying is L.A. being controlled by people Oh, man. I've never seen an angel when I went to L.A. So I say title inaccurate.
All right. Philly being the city of brotherly love, that is really, what a misnomer. That's so bad. If those guys really love their brothers so much, don't you think they know how to climb up a greasy pole? And City of Angels, I mean, there is like a lot of bitches there with like bad back tattoos with angel wings, so it's accurate.
But those little ladies with the tramp stamps, they might be wearing the Victoria's Secret garb, but they're not angels. Don't let them trick you. And there's a brotherly love everywhere, so you can't keep it out. So I say Philly isn't wrong.
All right. How about this? Will Smith left West Philadelphia for LA. City of brotherly love? I don't think so. There we go. All right.
I got to hand the win to Katie McCarthy.
I know. They're both terrific. Next up, please welcome AJ O'Connell and Liam McGurk. AJ, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Your question is from Sean Clark. It says, which city's NBA team had the shittier mascot? The New Orleans Pelicans or Washington Wizards?
I'm going shittier mascot.
Yeah.
The Wizards. Because if you've seen a pelican, not only is it real, it's a ferocious animal that will eat your cat. And it looks so stupid and it's deceiving. It'll just bite your arm off and swallow it. Like, you'll see your arm go at the bottom of its gullet as it goes in, and then it'll look stupid as you bleed. Now, a wizard, they make magic. The magic already exists. You can't defeat the concept of magic if you're a wizard. Also, if you've ever seen their mascot, it's like a weird blue thing. It's not a real human person. So it's just the creation of the wizard, and it's an abomination. It's a level 3 wizard creation at most. I'm learning to wizard. I'm going to be able to make that thing next week, and I will kill it.
Wizards also eat cats, so I'm sure at least one has. Those guys are weird. Also, they are also very deceptively not cool-looking. But, you know, they can do some shit, man. There are a lot of birds already. Right? I don't need another bird. But we don't got any... I don't even know what category wizards are in, but they're none of them in basketball. So I like a little diversity. Sorry. So... Pelicans are dumb.
Okay, a wizard will only eat your cat, but it's like part of the ingredient. Like, it's not just going to straight up eat the cat. Also, wizards, like, don't we have enough powerful people? Haven't we learned? No one should be over 6'4". Or have over 4%, like under 5% body fat. We all need to be equal. No one needs to be way more powerful than the other. I don't know if you've seen humans, but they don't also need magic. That guy's going to try to rule us.
Time.
People shouldn't be over 6'4 in basketball. Of all the places. So, that was wrong.
This is tough. I think I...
It was a dunk contest.
Can either of you dunk?
Yes.
I gotta hand the win to Liam McGurk. Next up, everyone please welcome Zach Jones and Mike Dorval.
I'll go second.
Cool. Mike, your question is from Sean Clark. He asks, who would win in a fight, New York's Statue of Liberty or all of the Confederate statues in the southern cities?
Well, let me see. We've got a bunch of tiny statues dedicated to the greatest loss in the history of our country. Or one giant badass lady who's actually managed to stay alive in the middle of the water for 100 years. I think I'm going Statue of Liberty. The Confederate statues are actually losing to college kids. They're already losing. This isn't even actually a question that's still in debate. They've lost half their team. They're not even making the playoffs.
My opponent has had his vision clouded by Ghostbusters 2. But you have to remember, the slime was what made that actually happen. It wasn't the power within the statue itself. What we do know is that if you want to stand for America and stand for it as a beacon of liberty, you might not try that hard right now. You might not be as into that as you once were. Meanwhile, no matter how dumb these Confederate statues are, they're not giving up on their dumb, stupid thing. Otherwise, they would have done it a long time ago. They're tenacious, and there's too many of them. You have no idea. Like, more than you expect. Like, Lady Liberty would be looking south, getting ready to fight. Surprise, there's one on the Harbor Islands of Boston coming from behind.
Time.
I would argue that my esteemed opponent might want to actually rewatch Ghostbusters 2, because the point was the slime didn't do it. It was a conduit for the love of New Yorkers for the Statue of Liberty. They loved it so much that it started to move and dominated everything else. Really, rooting for the Confederate statues, it's essentially you're rooting for the Washington Generals. They've never won anything. And the people who are actually...
Time.
Oh, damn it, I had more.
Look, I can talk Ghostbusters 2 forever. And we can talk about how the fact that actual New Yorkers don't actually care at all about the Statue of Liberty. That's some tourist bullshit. Doesn't matter. Listen, I think you just don't realize how many Confederate statues are. I hate to break it to you, but America's not given up on its racism, and those statues are everywhere, and they are tenacious.
Time. Okay, this one's tough to judge. I think... What? Can either of you dunk? Never mind. Don't answer that. I have to hand the win to Zach Jones. Give it up for Mike Dorval. Yeah. Next up, everybody please welcome Liam McGurk and Katie McCarthy. Katie, your question is, would you rather be a major player in the mafia in Atlantic City, New Jersey, or in witness protection in Des Moines, Iowa?
Hmm. like to be in witness protection in Des Moines, Iowa. You know what? I think being in the mob would be really stressful. I think killing people would be very stressful. Also, I don't want to be in New Jersey. I'd rather be in among a bunch of, like, corn and meth. So, I really have no good arguments for this, so I'm just going to pass it to Leo.
I would say that witness protection Des Moines, Iowa, it's for those who are bad at being in the mafia in Atlantic City. And so that's why I'd be in the mafia in Atlantic City, because I'm still winning. And I don't want to be in the witness protection. I want to be assassinated. Because I'm snitching, baby. But I'm principled about it. I'm a principled snitch, and I will die for what I believe in, which is ratting out my brothers to the authorities.
Iowa is the breadbasket of America.
I would so snitch on you if I could. I would snitch on your bread tactics. I would snitch on every single one of you. As soon as I see anyone committing any sort of crime or misdemeanor, I'm singing, baby. That's snitch life, and you die for that. And I'm ready to.
All right, I got to hand the win to Liam McGurk.
Next up, please welcome Zach Jones and Malin Pavletic. Zach, do you want to go first or second?
I will go first.
Okay. All right. Zach, your question is... would you rather live in Salt Lake City surrounded by Mormons or Washington, D.C. among pure evil?
Oh, my God, Mormons. Like, have you ever met Mormons? They're the nicest people that exist. You can, like drive drunk into their house, and then they'll bake you, like, a Jell-O cake or whatever weird middle of the Salt Lake cuisine they enjoy. They do nothing but nice things for people. And believe it or not, like, you're like, oh, they're not very cool. And you're probably right. But they're infinitely cooler than all of the lanyard-wearing dipshits that you would ever meet in D.C. Those people don't... I mean, at least the Mormons love to, like, drink Red Bull on weekends and hang out. The D.C. types just like to, you know, do Adderall and figure out how they can start more war crimes. No, yeah, let's go with the Mormons in SLC.
First of all, they figure out how to continue more war crimes, not just start. Okay. I'm not all about being a big fish in a small pond, okay? I want to be a shark. I want to specifically a bull shark because they can also exist in fresh water. That's neither here nor there. The point is that America hated Mormons so much, we sent them out west, and we specifically sent them to a body of water that was a salt lake. They traveled and traveled to other, like, oh my God, water! And they tasted like... Yeah, not American for me. I'm all about that swamp money. You know? Hey, they might wear lanyards, but at least they don't wear those dumb fucking clip-on ties, right? Thank you. That's horrible. Hope I'm never quoted on that. Okay.
Time.
You know what? I like being a big fish in a small pond, personally. You could be a shark in the ocean. You know what happens to them? Some illegal fisherman picks them up and makes shark fin soup out of them, okay? Not so great. You be the big fish in the koi pond, in the little area where you get to just hang out and be the big fish. I would be the coolest guy in Salt Lake City. And that's not saying much about me, but, I mean, I can start some trends there, I bet.
Time.
You wouldn't. It would be someone on the Utah Jazz. That would be the coolest person. In Salt Lake. Sorry, man. Sorry. Gotta hand it to Utah Jazz. The dumbest... That's an oxymoron, right? Utah and jazz? No way. It's like jumbo shrimp. That's so fucking stupid. Anyway, I'm all about being in both salt and fresh water. I'm salty, but I like it fresh. Swamp fresh.
Time. All right, I got to hand the win to Malin Pavletic.
Oh, you brought that for me? Oh, thank you.
That's bribery, Malin. That's why I got kicked out.
Yeah, well, my dad's not dead.
Oh, shit. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay, all right. Well, that was interesting. Next up, everybody, please welcome Ted Pettengill and Sean Rosa. Ted, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Sean, your question this is kind of from Zach Jones and Sarah Morgan. They both kind of contributed to this.
Sarah Jones?
Sarah Jones. Your question is, what's the most notable thing about St. Louis? Is it that big arch or Nelly?
It's got to be Nelly. Of course. Oh, the gateway to the west? You could just go around that. You know what you can't avoid? It's getting hot in here, and we need to take off all our clothes.
I think collectively we all missed an opportunity with the combination of Zach Jones and Sarah Morgan to all not shout, Sack Moans! As for my opponent, it's getting hot in her. Yes! Hot in her, which is so grammatically incorrect, you can throw it out the window. What you can't throw out the window, that big-ass arch. Is there a McDonald's up there? You don't know, but you're going to go up there to find out. Spoiler alert, there isn't. It's just the view of the Midwest. Which you can all do without. But you know what? You can also do without Nelly's entire discography. He was...
Time.
You know, you probably won't find a McDonald's on top of that arch. But if you go into a McDonald's, you might find Nelly. So, where do you go from there? You go stomping in your Air Force Ones, that promotional placement song that sold an entire generation shoes.
Time.
And it worked.
Damn it. My whole strategy is backfiring on me. Shit, I don't know anything about rap music. I was just going to name a bunch of like other rappers from the South. Outkast, that's one. That's actually two. It's two guys. Two guys better than Nelly. How many arches can you name that are better than that arch?
Time. All right, I got to hand the win to Sean Rosa.
The Arch de Triomphe in Paris.
Okay. Next up, everyone, please welcome Malin Pavletic and Liam McGurk. Malin, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second. Are you okay with first, or do you want to go second? I'll go second.
Malin's going second. Okay.
Fact.
Liam, your question is from Lorelei Lyons. She asks, How do you prefer to navigate Boston? On the MBTA or jumping into the Charles River and allowing the current to take you where you need to be?
I'm going to go with the Charles on this one because the Charles, it's reliable. I don't have to wait for it. It's still going past midnight. It's in a linear direction that makes sense with the map of the city. And my father used to take it all the time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. My mom and her brothers, my uncles, were raised in Brighton. You know, I want to know what they fucking put in that river? Every day at 3 p.m., right across from where the Doubletree Suites are today, they would dump bright green sludge into that fucking river, and then fish would just rise up. No, thank you. I prefer picking my own skin, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm also into being a hero on the MBTA. I can bring some Narcan, help a heroin addict. You know, that's too dark. That's fine. You guys should all be carrying it. Also, did I mention my dad's not dead? Pretty dope.
Your dad's not dead, but he wants to be. Also.
Trust me, when I mentioned that I do comedy, I could see that look in his eyes, okay? So, number one. Number two, at least the MBTA takes me to different parts of the city, okay? If I'm going to be near a dead body, I don't also want it to be all bloated with fucking goddamn gross water, right? That's fine. Not with a bang, but a whimper, we're good. We're good.
All right, I got to hand the win to Liam McGurk.
When I tell your dad I do comedy, he's proud.
See, I'd tell your dad that, but he's probably too drunk to fucking know.
All right. Next up. Hey, if your dad's dead, cheer. Yeah. All right. If he's just not proud of you, cheer. Okay. All right. Next up, everybody, please welcome Sean Rosa and Liam McGurk. Okay, Sean, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Just pick one of these cards. Okay. Liam, your question is from Steve Albert. He asks, if your city is known only for one fake holiday, should it be based on a rodent predicting the weather or exposing yourself for cheap beads?
I'm going to go with the rodent predicting the weather, because isn't it also just exposing itself for cheap beads? The beads in the form of attention that a rodent should never get. And if you just, you can have fun and you can expose your breasts, which shouldn't be sexualized in the first place. All right, so we're just doubling down on that. Just make them a part of you like an elbow or an arm. We gotta go back to just making random animals decide our lives. More animal sacrifices. Because, see, we're trying to figure shit out with science and it's not working. We gotta go back to chaos.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Groundhog Day is not just known for the rodent. It's also known for the movie, so that should disqualify it from this whole competition. Also, if you're going to, like, really go by accuracy as far as predicting the weather, I don't think there's any better prediction of spring than drunk college girls' breasts. And if you're talking about animal sacrifices, you know where you're going to go for some magic voodoo animal sacrifice stuff? Not Pennsylvania. Fucking Louisiana, baby. Santeria.
Okay. Well, I think that drunk college girls peeing is the best predictor of time. It's 10:30, baby. I don't know what that means, but... And I would also like to apologize to looking at all the women when I said that breasts shouldn't be sexualized.
Time!
I apologize to no one for saying that breasts are indicators of the weather. It's true. Everyone's going to have to accept that. And Liam... You're really going on the defensive here, which is not a good strategy. You should just crawl back in your hole for winter for another 6 years.
Time. All right, I got to hand the win to Liam McGurk.
Yeah.
Which means there's just one debate left. Liam McGurk and me. I'm going to need Zach Jones.
Okay, well, clearly I'm going to pick the question from Zach Jones. I'm sorry, I might have mumbled there. The question from Zach Jones. And my question is, would you rather live in a neighborhood 2 years before it is gentrified or 2 years after?
2 years before it's gentrified, because that's when I can maybe afford to live there. Probably still no, because I live in Quincy now, and that was supposed to be gentrified 8 years ago, but it still sucks. But, like, I can't live in Somerville. I've looked at the rent in Somerville. I can't live there. So, 2 years before, gentrification also doesn't happen overnight. So how do you market at 2 years? It doesn't make sense. Okay.
I don't understand why you didn't do any debate and now you're the last person. Like, what do you think? You're the boss fight? You think you're Shao Kahn? You're Glass Joe. Explain your own validity.
I'd like to change my answer to after gentrification, because I wouldn't have to deal with this shit in Somerville. This shit never happens at Sally O'Brien's. Because Liam's like, hey, can I go on at a reasonable hour? But here, you don't give a fuck. All right, I have no good answer for you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, Sean, you put up a reasonable argument, but as you know, you don't win on the show. So I got to say, Liam McGurk wins. Thank you.
All right, thank you all for being here. Zach Jones, everybody! Liam McGurk, your champion. And once again, give it up for Mike Derval, who had a great run early in the night. All right. I want to thank you all for being here. We do these shows here the first, second, and third Friday of every month. here at Maggie's Lounge in Quincy, 7 p.m. each time. Please listen to the podcast, rate it and review it online. That helps us. If you give a review on iTunes, it's very helpful. All right. We'll be back again next week. We're going to be talking about theme parks. So we'll see you then. Good night.
That was Pick a Side, Stupid. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show.
Hey, that's our show for this week. Thank you for listening. Now you're done. You can shut off your phone. I mean, not really, because does anybody shut off their phone ever? But you could do other things. You don't need to listen to this anymore. You could open up a window on your computer, go into iTunes, rate a podcast that you like. You could get in your car, drive to Maggie's Lounge, buy a pizza, say hi to Mara, say hi to George, maybe say hi to me if it's a Friday at 7 p.m. because that's when we do these shows, first, second, and third Friday of each month. Hey, thanks to Mike Grimaldi for the artwork this week. You can check out Mike on Instagram at Grimdrops. Join our Facebook group. Become part of the crew, you know? Get in on the fun.